Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Happy Monday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. The Super Bowl is set out in New Orleans. We got the Chiefs trying to go through a three-peat against Philadelphia, rematch from a couple of years ago. We will break down that game plenty on the show today. Henry Ettinger standing by, get his thoughts on the Super Bowl. Also dive in to the NBA, some of his favorite plays of the day. We're also going to look at some of the coaching hires that have happened already in the NFL offseason, try and guess some of the win totals for some of these teams, who we like, who we don't like, heading into next season. College basketball, it's Monday. I'll dive into the 10 best teams that I like in college basketball, some of their future odds, who I would bet to win the national title. Kate Constable going to join us later on the show for Model Making Money, and we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, you can go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Glasses in session. Let's get rolling on a Monday. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Henry Ettinger. Give him a follow on X, on TikTok as well. Does a great job. A lot of great gambling content. Give him a follow at @Hedging_Henry. And Henry, our Super Bowl matchup is set, man. We got the Chiefs and the Eagles. Kansas City, small 1.5-point favorite with a total of 49.5. Obviously, we got 2 weeks to dissect this game, talk about it. But just your initial thoughts seeing Chiefs versus the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think with the Chiefs, it's going to be hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes in this situation, right? He at 1.5, you're also getting a pretty cheap money line, you know, in that -125, -130 range at some books. You know, you look at the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes of this world, that they usually don't lose these games. It happens every once in a while, especially though when they have a good defense. It doesn't usually happen. And so this is a situation where I'm going to be looking back at the Chiefs. I already know it. It's already going to happen. I have not been a big fan of any of the NFC teams this year, and that includes this Eagles team. I think they've got a lot of holes. I don't think this Chiefs team is perfect by any means, but that was my thought there. I think the total is a lot trickier. The Chiefs offense has finally gotten their weapons back, so that makes their season-long numbers on the offensive side a little bit difficult to dissect. And on the Eagles side of things, too, there's a bunch of health concerns that you don't know about on their offense. So the total is a little trickier, but in terms of the actual game, the side, I got to lean Chiefs.
Yeah, tend to agree with you. With the spread that short, it's kind of hard to go up against Patrick Mahomes. What about the prop market, Henry? I always find props so interesting for the Super Bowl, right? Because it's this two-week wait, and we already have a bunch of props out there at all these different shops. And right now, I'm sure people are firing away on props, or maybe they don't want to kind of hold all that money over for 2 weeks. When it comes to props for the Super Bowl, what's usually your process? Do you tend to bet a lot more like day of when you have these numbers probably inflated and you bet unders? Do you feel like there's an advantage of betting early? Kind of what's your process when it comes to props in the Super Bowl?
Well, a little bit of both, PJ. I think if you're looking at overs, yes, you want to bet them early, right? Like, one I know I'm going to be on is Dallas Goedert over, right? Chiefs have struggled with tight ends all year. That's a prop I'm looking to bet. Now, liquidity, you know, early on isn't always the best, but that's a market I want to attack early. For unders, you're right, you definitely want to wait for those as well. So it's a little bit of mixing your numbers with the market timing in terms of, you know, the public's going to have a say in this. But then also, there's other unique aspects about the Super Bowl you have to keep in mind too, right? There's a lot more props available than you'll get on a usual slate. So things like kicking props, you know, more role-type players. You got to go a little bit deeper into the research there, so it's tough to bet them early necessarily. You know, it's not something I can fire away on a Monday feeling confident with 2 weeks to go. And not all of those props are posted, but you got to keep that in mind. And if you do the work there, there's definitely more value. And the third thing I always think about with the Super Bowl is, there's more media availability, and sometimes these guys give away a little bit of hints that they don't always, you know, when it's just the quarterback, the head coach, and all of that, right? You get some guys that aren't necessarily used to having microphones in front of them, and sometimes they give away a little bit more detail, and so you got to be paying attention throughout, you know, the media sessions as well to see if you can find some advantages there. So there's a lot of different elements at play with the Super Bowl, but it can be a lot of fun because there's so much more available.
Yeah, that's a good point. Obviously, the Super Bowl, I mean, so many props to choose from, and we got 2 weeks till the big game kicks off in New Orleans. Henry, let's look at the NBA, though. I know you're locked into some player props, bunch of these teams. We got two really good games tonight. Houston, 6.5-point dogs in Boston, taking on the Celtics, and then the Grizzlies are 3.5-point dogs at MSG tonight, taking on the Knicks. Any thoughts from you on either of those two marquee matchups tonight?
I'd look at the Celtics specifically. They have not been great over the last, you know, 10, 15 games, and I think the market's a little bit low on them for that reason. But at the same time, there's been some situational spots where they've just been in a tough position. There's been some bad shooting luck that's gone against them as well. I think here, you know, there is some injury question marks in terms of Al Horford and Derek White. But at the same time, I think this number is a little bit short. Versus, you know, a Houston team where I think they certainly match up well. I think they're going to be able to get up their threes. And I just think the market's deflated them a little bit too much here. It's not a side I necessarily would be betting a lot into, but it's the one I show the most value in.
What about for props tonight? What are some of the your favorite props on tonight's NBA slate?
A few different ones I like tonight. First one, Daniel Gafford over points. It's a great matchup versus the Wizards, number one. They've really struggled to guard the center position all season. And look at the injury report for the Mavericks. I mean, all their bigs are really out here. So Daniel Gafford's going to have to play a ton of minutes. His numbers already skyrocket up without Derek Lively there. And I think this is an even better spot for him there, too. Another big that I like tonight, Mark Williams over points. The Lakers, despite having Anthony Davis, really haven't been very good versus the center position this season. Mark Williams, since his minutes have gone up, his field goal attempts have also skyrocketed. I think it's a really nice spot for him to potentially take advantage of a weak Lakers interior. And finally, Kyrie Irving over 2.5 threes made, also in that Wizards game. Without Luka Doncic, he takes a ton of threes. The Wizards give up a ton of pull-up threes, specifically their bottom five in the NBA there. So those are three of my favorites, but I think I've got six total plays on the board. Ton of value today.
All right, love it. Let's talk about some of the better teams, Henry, so far in the NBA. We got the Cavs in the Eastern Conference and the Rockets in the West. Now that football's winding down, right? I mean, people probably are going to pay a little more attention to basketball, whether it's college or the NBA. And they might be surprised to see how well the Rockets are doing in the West, the Cavs in the East. Do you feel like either of those teams are contenders? Like, do you think either of those teams are good enough to win the whole thing?
I think the Cavaliers are, and that's because of a couple things. Number one, the two big offenses look pretty good this year. That's always been a concern in the playoffs is, hey, are they going to get bogged down offensively with this lineup? But so far, it's been fine. Their wings have shot the ball very well this year, too, to provide some spacing and make that work. But you saw versus the Thunder, for example, an elite defense in the first matchup. The Cavs put up a ton of points on that team. And I think they've got, you know, an ensemble cast that can make things happen in what's a weaker Eastern Conference. I just don't love any of the other teams around them all that much either, right? Philly's fallen off. I think the Knicks, you got to be worried about the injuries and the miles they're putting on their guys there. Celtics haven't looked quite the same. I don't feel the same way for the Rockets. I don't see enough offensive creation on that team ultimately when push comes to shove in the playoffs. And the West, I think a lot of those teams right now are down because of injuries that I'm not sure I necessarily, you know, would be picking the Rockets against when healthy, right? Like, if the Mavs have their guys, I'm picking the Mavericks in the series versus the Rockets. And there's a lot of examples like that. So I lean much more to the Cavs being a contender than the Rockets.
And then sticking with that, anything in the futures market right now in the NBA that you like? It could be teams, it could be player-specific awards, anything that you currently think holds some value right now?
This one's a little niche, but I like Khalil Ware as Rookie of the Year. Now, the odds have dropped significantly, but shop around. You can still get, I think, a decent price here. And that's because, look, he started the last three games for the Miami Heat. We think there's a real chance Jimmy Butler might get traded at some point. This is a guy, number one, I was high on in the draft. Number two, if Jimmy Butler gets traded, there's a ton of offensive volume that's going to be available for that team. There already has been since he's jumped into the starting lineup, even with Jimmy Butler, because Bam Adebayo's not having as good of a year. There are other, Terry Rozier isn't having as good of a year, so there's definitely, you know, some options there. And there's just nobody else. Like, who else is going to win Rookie of the Year here, right? There, so to me, this is a market that I didn't have a good feel on coming into the season. I was going to wait and see what happened, but yeah, I'm seeing a ton of field goal attempts. It's a small sample size with Ware, but it's a guy I'm high on, and I think there could be a much more expanded role coming for him here shortly.
Still plus 200 on BetMGM if you want to bet Ware to win Rookie of the Year. He's Henry Ettinger. Always great stuff when he joins us here on Send It In. Give him a follow on X, on Instagram, TikTok as well, at @hedging_Henry. Henry, always appreciate the time, man. Good luck to you, and talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, PJ.
Yeah, you got it. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here. On Send It In, our initial thoughts on the Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Chiefs out in New Orleans. We got Kansas City as a 1.5-point favorite over Philadelphia. The total is 49.5. This line originally opened up. Kansas City was probably like minus 120, minus 125 on the money line. Now they're up to minus 130. The total has also gone up a little bit from 48.5 to 49.5. I'm in agreement with Henry on this one, right? Like, if you got Mahomes in a pick'em type situation, it's hard to go up against the Chiefs. I think the Eagles overall are a better team. I like their defense better. Obviously, Saquon's incredible. They got better receivers. They got the better O-line. But when you have the better coach and the better quarterback on a neutral site field, and these team and the Chiefs are obviously playing in their third straight Super Bowl, their fourth in the last 5 years, it's tough to go against Kansas City and the way that they elevate themselves in these kind of games, right? Here are the Chiefs who haven't scored 30 points the entire season, and then the AFC Championship game, when they need to score 30 points, they score 32. That's the greatness of Mahomes. You know, it's when you need him most, when you need him to deliver, he usually does. So I like Kansas City. I think the only way I could get involved in Philadelphia is you would expect there to be a lot of Chiefs money in this game. Everybody's going to be betting against the Chiefs because everybody that lost money betting the Bills last night is going to say to themselves, I'm never doing that again. I'm never betting against Mahomes, especially when the spread is this short. We saw another short spread last year in the Super Bowl when they played against San Francisco. So I think there's going to be a lot of Chiefs money. If this gets up to 2.5 and we have a chance to buy the Eagles up to +3, that's when I like getting involved with the Eagles. But if this line stays 1.5, you can get a minus 125, minus 130 on the money line. I think Kansas City is the play in the game. As for some props right now that I think are pretty interesting, we'll start with anytime touchdown scores. I think you got to bet Kelce at plus 125. Zach Ertz yesterday had 10 receptions for Washington. He was carving them up in the middle of the field. It's the Super Bowl. He only had 2 catches yesterday against Buffalo. You would expect a big game out of Kelce in what could be his final game potentially. And then also give me Devontae Smith at plus 200 as well. You would expect Trent McDuffie, the best corner for Kansas City, to be on A.J. Brown for a majority of the game. As Henry was talking about, Goddard, or tight ends, I should say, do play really well against Kansas City, so you would think Goddard would be a big factor. Kind of tend to think this is going to be a Devontae Smith game, though. I see a ton of value with him. Anytime touchdown at 2-1. Also, his receiving yards over at 48.5, too. Devontae's kind of a big play receiver for Philadelphia, right? He's kind of fallen in that range where when he's catching passes, it's usually for like 15, 19, 22 yards. So he could go over 48.5 receiving yards in like 2 or 3 catches. I like over there, and I like his anytime touchdown price at plus 200 as well. Favorite prop, though, on the board currently is probably going to be Patrick Mahomes over passing attempts at 36.5. In the 4 Super Bowls that Mahomes has played, in 3 of them, he's had 42 or more pass attempts. Andy Reid just understands that in the Super Bowl, you got to get the ball in the hands of your best player, right? You got to give Mahomes as many chances as he can to make plays. Good things are going to happen when the ball is in his hands. So they've had Mahomes throw a ton before against the Eagles, and I would expect him to throw the ball a ton again. You saw Washington do that, right? Especially at the start of that game, they came out throwing. First six plays of the game were all designed pass plays. They were going four wide, five wide. They had some nice, long, sustained drives. I know Kareem Hunt's been a nice little running option for Kansas City, and I'm sure they're going to give him some carries, but at the end of the day, I would expect Mahomes to have over 40 pass attempts in this game. He's done it three of the four times in the Super Bowl, so we'll go over 36.5 pass attempts for Pat Mahomes. I told you I like Devontae Smith over 48.5 receiving yards. I also like Juju Smith-Schuster over 12.5 receiving yards as well. Watching that AFC Championship game last night against Buffalo, it felt like Juju was out there more than DeAndre Hopkins was, right? It was obviously a ton of Xavier Worthy. Kelsey was out there, Hunt normally, but then Juju was kind of that second wide receiver out there, more so than DeAndre Hopkins. His receiving yards total is at 12.5. He had two catches yesterday for 60 yards. So there's only been one game this year where Juju's had a game with more than two receptions. So you're probably only going to get one or two catches, but I think it could go for more than 12.5 yards. So I'll go over that for Juju as well. So those are some of the props I like early on in the Super Bowl. As for some of the head coach hirings that we have had in the NFL this year, or this offseason, I should say, we'll run through these teams. We obviously don't have win totals yet for any of these teams in the NFL, but kind of looking at their schedules and trying to guess what they are, kind of have a good idea of which way I would lean going into next season for some of these teams. We will start with the Chicago Bears, who obviously had the biggest splash in the offseason. They got the most coveted head coach, and that is Ben Johnson. The problem with the Bears for next season, you guys, is their schedule, specifically their road schedule, might be the toughest road schedule I think I've ever seen in my entire life. So the problem for the Bears is that obviously they play in the NFC North. So they got to deal with three really good teams. They got to play the Vikings, the Lions, and the Packers a combined six times. On top of that, they also play the NFC East and they play the AFC North. And what sucks for the Bears is that the two best teams in each of those leagues, they have to go into their building next season. So the Bears are at the Ravens, they're at the Bengals, they're at the Commanders, and they're at the Eagles. They're also at San Francisco on top of playing at Green Bay, at Minnesota, and then at Detroit. I've truly never seen anything like that. So even though there's going to be a lot of excitement around the Bears with Ben Johnson being their head coach, pairing him with Caleb Williams, the weapons that they have on offense, they do have a pretty good defense. The Bears' schedule is just a nightmare. So I think a lot of people are going to be high on this team because of now the new head coach and quarterback pairing. But when you dive into that schedule, I don't think it's crazy to say the Bears' win total is probably going to be like 6.5, 7.5 for next season. I think if it's 7.5, you got to go under. 6.5 probably feels about right. And if we get some plus money on the under, I could be interested. But the Bears' schedule, their road schedule specifically, is just way too tough. The New York Jets, they obviously got a new head coach as well in Aaron Glenn. I would expect the Jets' win total to probably be about 7.5, 8.5. Their schedule nowhere near as tough as the Bears are. They finished third in the AFC East, so they get the third place schedule for next season. They also have to play the AFC North, so they got to deal with Baltimore and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, but they also play the NFC South, so they get the worst division in the NFC. I like Aaron Glenn as a head coach. It's tough to know what the Jets are going to do next year until we find out what direction they're heading in at quarterback. But look, it's the Jets. I don't think anybody's going to believe in the Jets, especially after this year. This was kind of the year that it felt like everyone, myself included, was believing in the Jets. So I think there's a chance we could get maybe a 7.5 on the Jets. If we do, I would be interested in the over. Dallas Cowboys are really interesting, right? They hired Brian Schottenheimer as their head coach, which everybody hates. I haven't heard one person that has come out said this is a great hire for the Dallas Cowboys. And the fact that nobody likes it kind of makes me like Dallas a little bit heading into next season. It all depends on the number for their win total. If Dallas is sitting there at 7.5 for their win total, I could see myself potentially diving in on the over. If it's 8.5, 9, 9.5, that's probably where I stay away. But if it's 7.5, I think Dallas to the over could be pretty interesting. They do have to play the AFC West. They also get the NFC North, so the schedule isn't great. But look, how many times in sports do we see fan bases or just people in general when the consensus is that everybody hates it, whether it's a draft pick, whether it's a coaching hire. Sometimes the fans are right and it ends up being a dumpster fire, or sometimes it turns out to be really good. So if the number is 7.5 with Dallas, especially if you get plus money, I'd be willing to take the over on the Cowboys. Jacksonville Jaguars hired Liam Cohen as their head coach after he told them he wasn't going to take the job, and then they fired Trent Baalke, and then he ends up taking the job. I would expect Jacksonville's win total to probably be about 8, 8.5. Their division's not any good with Houston, Indianapolis, and Tennessee, and they're going to have a pretty easy schedule. Problem for me with Jacksonville is I'm just not a believer in Trevor Lawrence. I don't think, even if Liam Cohen is a really good offensive mind, I don't think he's going to magically fix Trevor Lawrence. So I'm not buying in on the Jags this year. I'm thinking their win total is probably going to be about 8.5 because the schedule is not all that difficult, and there will be a lot of people that think Lawrence is going to have a bounce back year. I'm not one of those, so I'll go under on the Jags. I do like the upside on the Las Vegas Raiders this year. I would expect their win total to probably be about 6.5. Pete Carroll's a really good head coach. And look, the Raiders did beat the Ravens in Baltimore, and they almost beat the Chiefs in Kansas City this season. So the Raiders have shown the ability that they can play against anyone. And what's good for the Raiders is that a lot of times they're going to be the letdown game for a bunch of these teams on their schedule, right? All these top AFC and NFC teams are going to be battling each other, and they're going to go through brutal stretches, and they might have the Raiders in the middle of all that. And the Raiders now with Pete Carroll as their head coach could upset some potential people. They obviously could be very aggressive in the draft this season, move up for a quarterback. So I would expect the Raiders' win total to probably be about 6.5, kind of like the over on Las Vegas. And then finally, we got the Patriots and the Saints. Pats, I would expect their win total to probably be about 7.5. Big-time coaching upgrade going from Gerard Mayo to Mike Vrabel. Drake May takes over in his first full season. A lot of people like Drake May. I'm not quite as high on Drake May as a lot of other people are. The schedule is a little tough for New England. They do have the NFC South, which is good for them, but obviously playing the AFC North is not going to be good for the Patriots. 7.5 is probably, that's the right number. I think New England's a 7-10, 8-9 team next season, so I will pass on the Patriots. And then finally, the New Orleans Saints, they're the only team right now in the NFL that doesn't have a head coach, and because of that, tough for me to get involved on New Orleans. But I would say of all the teams that hired new coaches, I think Dallas and Vegas are the teams that I'm most interested in for the over, depending on the number. And the Bears, I would look at their under just because, again, their road schedule next season is tough. All right, let's move on to college basketball and talk about my top 10 teams on this Monday. Well, the top two teams have really not changed all season. It's been Duke and Auburn, and it's still Duke and Auburn as the top two teams in college basketball. On BetMGM right now, Duke is plus 450 to win the title, and Auburn is plus 450, and the next closest team is Houston at plus 900. And I agree with that in terms of Duke and Auburn are kind of in a tier of itself, and then it's everybody else. Jahni Broome is back for Auburn, which is only, I mean, he's their best player, one of the best players in the country. And I think you saw against Tennessee what makes Auburn so good and why they're going to be such a tough out in the tournament is the fact that they can win games in the 80s, but they can also win games in the 50s if need be, like they did against Tennessee. And it's kind of the same thing with Duke. They won a lower scoring game against Wake Forest over the weekend. Duke right now, to me, best team in college basketball, sixth in offense according to KenPom, and third on defense. My number third team is going to stay Iowa State at 11-1. I am starting to worry about the Cyclones a little bit. Their defense is still solid, but offensively, it feels like they're starting to fall back down to earth. They had such a good start to the season on the offensive end, but losing Monkilovich was a big deal. He's kind of their forward that stretches the floor, can shoot threes for them, and right now, Curtis Jones is kind of carrying them offensively. They're going to need more out of Joshua Jefferson, more out of Keyshawn Gilbert, more out of Taman Lipsey. If they can't get kind of that scoring around Curtis Jones, I'm a little worried about Iowa State, but right now, they're my number three team. Then we got the Florida Gators, my number four team at 14-1. I've been talking about it all year. The best guard trio in college basketball is Florida, with Clayton and Richard and Martin. Those three guys are awesome. They just got one of their big man back. They have a nice big man rotation too. The key with Florida is their defense, because they're going to be able to score on anybody, but if they can guard, especially in March, they're going to be a really tough team. Those are really the only four teams that I think at this point can win it, and teams that I would place a future on. After that, my number five team would be Bama at 14-1. My concerns with Bama is the defensive side of the floor. They're as good as anybody on offense, but defensively, I thought they'd be a little bit better this season, and it just hasn't come to the case. Their matchup is what's going to determine how far they go in March. If they play against a team that's really good on defense, they're probably going to knock them out. Houston is 9-1. They had a crazy win over the weekend against Kansas. Houston, we know what they are. They're great on defense. It's all about how much can they score on offense, and I just don't think this Houston team is as good as some of the Houston teams in years past. Tennessee's kind of the same way. Number one defense, according to Ken Pom, but they're 23rd in offense. They scored 51 on the road against Auburn. Their offense, for me, just too inconsistent. Illinois at 35-1. The Illini are an interesting team. One of the best guards in the country in Yakachunas. Their defense is also pretty solid, but Illinois got a lot of head-scratching losses this season. That could be a team that gets upset in the first round, or they could go all the way to the Final Four. Kansas at 22-1. Jayhawks are a really good defensive team. They're like 16-3 to the under this season. Their offense, though, they're lacking too many offensive weapons for me to get involved in them. And then Michigan, I think the Wolverines are the second-best team in the Big Ten, slightly ahead of Michigan State. I really like Dusty May as a head coach, and I really like their team on both sides of the floor. So for me, those are the top 10 teams: Duke, Auburn, Iowa State, Florida, Bama, Houston, Tennessee, Illinois, Kansas, and Michigan. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Kate Constable joining us here on Send It In. And Kate, what are the five-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Hey, PJ. Yeah, five-star plays. We're going to go to the NBA today. Rockets and Celtics, the first half. The model likes the over. That's at 109 right now. And the model makes this 112.5 in the first half. So you're getting about a 3.5-point difference there from the current line. These two teams met earlier this month, very early in January. And the first half had a total of 121 in that game. So well over this mark of 109. The model is making that a five-star play today, PJ.
Very good. Kate, what about you? What's your five-star play for today? What's some of your favorite bets?
Yeah, my five-star play in that exact same game, but I'm going to take a side here. I'm going to go with the Rockets, plus 6.5. They are playing in Boston. I mentioned that these two teams played just earlier this month, and the Celtics won by 23. So a little bit of a revenge spot for the Rockets today. In that previous matchup, Boston shot 50% from the field, 48% from three, and the Rockets only shot 27% from deep. Now, we all know that the Celtics, their specialty is shooting threes, and so they can explode and have another game like that, but their offense just has not been great over their last 10 games or so. They've slipped to 18th in the league in offensive rating over their last five games. And Houston's coming off of two massive back-to-back wins over Cleveland, who's one of the top teams in the league. So they're coming into this one with a lot of confidence and wanting to get a little revenge on Boston from their loss earlier this year.
And you got Ime Udoka, Kate, going up against his former team, which is always interesting when that happens. We got our Super Bowl matchup set. Eagles and Chiefs. I know a lot of people are going to have a tough time rooting for either one of these teams, but this is what we got. Kansas City is a small favorite with a total of 49.5. What's your initial thoughts on the game?
I mean, I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes, PJ. Why would I do that? The guy just wins. That's all he ever does. And that was, I mean, as simple as it is, that was part of my handicap yesterday in Chiefs and Bills. It's just, I'm going to take Mahomes. That team finds a way to get it done. It's not pretty. I believe they have 11 straight wins by one score or less. This is just a team that has been in this situation before, knows what it takes. The coordinator, I mean, Steve Spagnuolo was fabulous yesterday in some of the schemes that he drew up. I am a little worried about the run game for Philly and Kansas City being able to stop that with how good Saquon Barkley has been lately. But when it comes down to it, I'm going to back the Chiefs to three-peat here and continue on with that dynasty.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Kate. It's tough to bet against Mahomes, especially when the spread is that tight. Real quick, before I let you go, what about your team, the Chicago Bears? I haven't talked to you since they hired Ben Johnson. I mean, it's hard not to love the hire, Kate. My problem with the Bears next season is how tough their schedule is. So what do you think about the Bears looking into next year?
Yeah, I love the hire. Love that Ben Johnson's coming in. I love the coordinators and some of the position coaches that he's hired so far. But I'm with you that I think Bears fans need to temper their expectations just a little bit. This still is a first-time head coach. Caleb Williams still has a lot of growing to do. He didn't grow a whole lot in his rookie season, to be honest, just because of the situation that he was in. So, and then I heard you mention earlier their schedule. I mean, their schedule is so tough. So I think that they could win maybe 7-8 games, but I'm not looking at many more than that. I think it'll be a better season, but not any season that's taken them far into the postseason.
Yeah, that road schedule. Ooh, that is going to be tough next year for the Bears. Kate Constable joining us here on Send It In. Kate, great talking to you as always. We'll talk again later on in the week.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
You got it. For those people who want to continue to bet, don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. Ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, got a minute left to wrap up the show with our favorite plays of the day. My prop lock today is going to be Iowa State point guard Taman Lipsey under 8.5 points. You can get that at even money on BetMGM. Again, for Iowa State, it's been a lot of Curtis Jones, Joshua Jefferson, the transfer from St. Mary's, Keyshawn Gilbert. Lipsey really hasn't done much scoring going up against a good Arizona team tonight. I like under 8.5 points for Taman Lipsey. Dog of the day, folks, we're getting Iowa State as a big favorite at home, which means we're going to fade the Buckeyes. Give me Iowa +7.5 against Ohio State. The Buckeyes are just an auto fade. When you get them at home, over two possessions, give me Iowa plus the points. And then my best bet is going to be under 152.5 in Iowa State and Arizona. These are two teams that play top 70 offensive pace. Two good offensive teams, but also two good defensive teams. I just think this is way too many points. I think this game's going to be played in the 60s. I'll take under 152.5 in Iowa State and Arizona. Thanks again to Henry Ettinger, Kate Constable, for joining us on the show today. We will see you guys tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight? Aha! Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.